Okay, this is a summary of what we've done so far. It's good to kind of summarize where we're at. The purpose of our life, we're here for one reason. To get to know God, love God, serve God, and by means of that to get to heaven. It's good to keep reminding us of that's called principle and foundation and the exercise, why we're here. And that being the case, we started to study about God. First class we had was on the Trinity, which is the greatest mystery of the Catholic faith. Trinity is, we believe, in one God and three persons, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Now, usually we think that the Trinity is up there. Trinity is right here. In Him we live and move and have our being, as the poet says. No? Yeah, he's up there, yeah. But He's right here. Well, it starts with baptism. Baptize you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Where do we see the Trinity in the Bible? Various places, but especially the baptism of Jesus. The voice of the Father, right? The Son descends into the waters, and the Holy Spirit in the form of a dove descends upon Jesus. And we studied the private life of our Lord, or His infancy. He's born in Bethlehem, which means house of bread. Very appropriate that the bread of life would be born in the house of bread. No? A real symbolic connection between that. Name of His parents, you know them by now, I hope. It's Mary, right? And Saint Joseph. His work, that of a carpenter. Hard manual work. If he wanted to, if he were to grab your hand, it'd be like a wrench. Given that he was un caballero, as they say in Espanol, he was a real gentleman, he would not have wrenched your hand, right? But he would have been a strong man. They say according to the Holy Shroud, most men live, men were about 5'1 back then. Jesus was 5'11 and 3/4 from the Shroud of Turin. So he was a pretty big man, strong man. But he spent 30 years in that hidden life of Nazareth. That's why you look up at the cross, it says I-N-R-I. You know what that means? Jesus the Nazarene, King of the Jews. It's actually written in three languages because time of Jesus was kind of like L.A. There are three different cultures. Three basic cultures of L.A. would be what? The Latino and the Asian and then the Caucasian. Three basic cultures here. Time of Jesus, you had what? The Greeks, the Romans, and the Jews. So actually it had the three different writings. We have the Latin. And we talked about the public life of Christ, which lasted just 3 years. Those 3 years, Jesus carried out three basic ministries, which would be preaching or teaching, then also carrying out miracles, and two types of miracles, remember, over nature and over human bodies. Nature would be He walked on water, turned water into wine, the multiplication of the loaves, the walking on the water, the calming of the storm. And those over the human bodies were many. He gave sight to the blind. He gave hearing to the deaf. Did you hear me? Okay, pick that up. Okay, speech to the mute. He allowed paralytics to walk. And the greatest miracles would, of course, would be what? Rising someone from the dead. And we have that three times. Lazarus was the greatest. The girl that was only 12 years old. And the widow of Nain's son. So those were the greatest miracles, rising someone from the dead. And also he did exorcisms. Means he cast out devils. And I purposely was able to compose the one exorcism that most people remember, is that Jesus was crossing over to the Decapolis, which is Greek for the ten cities. And there was a man who was possessed by not one devil, but many devils. He was in the cemetery, very good place for him to be, huh? And they would chain him up, and he would shatter the chains. He would gash himself with stones. Jesus arrives on the scene, and he says, Jesus of Nazareth, have you come here to torture me before your time? Send me into the pigs. So there were some pigs that were grazing on the hillside, and he said, go. And what happened was, all the devils, there were a lot of devils within him, rushed into the pigs, and the pigs jumped over the hill into the water and all drowned. So Jesus was an exorciser. So there we have the public life of Christ. Preaching, miracles, and exorcising. Why do the miracles you're going to read in John chapter 8 when you start to read the Bible? He said, if you don't believe in my words, at least believe in my actions. They wouldn't always believe in what he said. So if my words are not sufficient, believe in the actions that I carry out. Now last week, if your memory goes beyond 6 days, hopefully it does, no? We were talking about Christ, but we're giving the Christological titles, so the different names we have for Christ. And by way of analogy, I said, okay, you are a daughter, you are a sister, you are a girl, you are a teenager, you are a Christian, you're a Catholic, you're an athlete. Yeah? Those are all definitions or different descriptions of the same unique person, right? So we can say the same thing about Jesus. Different names for Jesus. Master, teacher, Messiah, Christ, Savior, the way, the truth, the life, Alpha, Omega, the Good Shepherd, Bread of Life. All those are different names. And I remember, if my memory did not fail me after those 7 days, John gave a succinct definition of the definition of refraction, right? Even though he didn't study it in physics yet, right? Which you have like a diamond exposed to sun. It's going to be like almost like a rainbow of colors are going to be emanating from that beautiful diamond, right? You may call Jesus is like a beautiful diamond. And all these different titles are different manifestations of the greatness of Christ. You know the most important title according to your friend Fulton Sheen? Savior. That basically exemplifies the whole function of why he came. He came to save us. Do you know what Jesus means, Andrea? Savior. And the Archangel Gabriel, his name is Jesus because he will save the people from their sins. Got that? Okay, so that's kind of a long-winded intro, but I think important, to where we've arrived. Now we're going to be meeting another person. That person is just as important as Jesus, but it's another person of the Blessed Trinity, and it is the Holy Spirit. And at the end of class, one of my many hobbies, I got a lot of hobbies, no? Is I like to write. I like to write. So my free time, I'll go in my room and I compose sometimes books and sometimes prayers. And I'm going to be giving to you at the end of class one of the prayers I wrote for you. Say thank you, Father. Okay. On the seven gifts of the Holy Spirit. It'd be a good idea if you can maybe read it and memorize it, but it's kind of long. No? So we're going to pass that out to them, right? Yeah. Are you that? What? Oh, they already have it. Okay. Well, okay, I just asked you not to play around with it during the course, during the class, okay? So, we ready? So we're going to start by you all have your sheet and you all have, okay. You all have a pencil. You have your thinking cap on. Okay, you have a best friend always. And that best friend always is the Holy Spirit. Right, Martha? Okay, even the best of our friends in life sometimes fail us. Being perfectly honest, did you get one? Okay. Being perfectly honest, we at times fail them too. St. Thomas Aquinas says that a true friend wills the good of another. It's a great definition. The greatest good possible is to unite us with God in time and for all eternity. Jesus and friendship. Jesus called the apostles his friends at the Last Supper. Before Jesus went to heaven in his ascension, he promised not to leave us alone as orphans, but to send us another. Who is this person that Jesus wanted to send us, to help us, and to strengthen us, and to counsel and console us? This person is the topic of this class, and this person is God himself, the Holy Spirit. Okay. Questions to respond to about the Holy Spirit. Who then is the Holy Spirit? Okay, write down or underline, Holy Spirit is God. Underline that. Holy Spirit is God. In God, who is he? The Holy Spirit is God. He is the... Is he the first, the second, third, or the fourth person of the Trinity? Did you say the fourth? Okay. Which person?
Third.
He's the third. Who's greater? Okay, who's greater, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit?
Neither.
Okay, so they're all equal, right? So none of the three persons is considered the greatest. They're all equal but distinct or different. Next question. How is the Holy Spirit related to the Father and the Son? It is like this. Father loves the Son, and the Son loves the Father, and the
Holy Spirit is the bond of love between them.
Yeah, I wrote it a different way, but you're pretty much on the mark. I put the mutual love between. Okay, write down below that. I'm going to give you a little graph. Okay, you got the Father here. You got the Son here. So the Father loves the Son. The Son loves the Father. And who's the Holy Spirit? He is the mutual love between the Father and the Son. Okay, so he's a mutual love between the Father and the Son. He's the Holy Spirit. So the Father is the Creator, the Son is the Redeemer, and the Holy Spirit is the Sanctifier. He who makes us holy. Okay? Now, how are we related to the Holy Spirit? In the very time of our birth or baptism, or when we feel holy, we became temples of the Holy Spirit. Baptism. Baptism. When we became sons of God, brothers of Jesus, and temple, right, but I actually put friends. Friends of the Holy Spirit. Okay, this is not written on it, but here's a theological question. can you have the Father, let's say in your soul, can you have the Father without the Son and the Son without the Holy Spirit? Could you just have like one of them, the Father? That's enough. Or just the Son? Or just the Holy Spirit? What do you think? That's right. When you, there's no divorce in God. So where the Father is, you've got the Son. Where the Son is, you've got the Holy Spirit. They're always united. But say, for example, if you lose the Father, do you lose the Son? Yeah. You lose the Son, do you lose the Holy Spirit? So wherever one goes, the other goes. They're always united. They're never separated. Now, you can fight with your friend and you're separated from your friend. A man and woman can get married and then they get divorced, okay? But in God, there's no such thing as divorce. There's unity in love, if you like that expression. Unity in love, that's what the Trinity is. Unity in love. Okay, let's move on to number 6. Can we lose the Holy Spirit? Unfortunately, yes. When we commit what is called a
mortal sin.
Okay, when you commit a mortal sin, then we lose the presence of the Holy Spirit in our soul, as well as the Father and the Son. Okay, below number 6, I want to write down the conditions of a mortal sin. We'll arrive at it later on, but we're going through the dogmatic part of catechism. We'll arrive at the moral part eventually. So there are 3 conditions. It has to be grave matter. Grave matter. Then it has to be also full knowledge, then third would be, maybe you know? Go ahead. No?
Consent? Or?
Good, what are we going to say? What does consent mean?
When you're allowing it to happen.
Okay, full consent of the will would be the full consent of the will. So grave matter, full knowledge, full consent of the will. Any Catholic that's serious about his faith, you should really know this. Otherwise, you live in a ball of confusion. I'll give an example. Okay, can you receive communion? Anna? Okay, if you're not aware of a mortal sin, you can always receive Holy Communion. You have to fast for how long? An hour, right? Fast for an hour. It used to be 3 hours when I was your age. When my mom was a little kid, it was since midnight you couldn't eat anything, no? Now it's just 1 hour. So the fasting now is almost non-existent, okay? Okay, so a grave matter, what grave means, it's serious. So if you're aware of a mortal sin, then you should not receive communion. But if you're not aware of a mortal sin, you should go to communion always. Never deprive yourself of Holy Communion. Very common among las abuelitas, no me confesé por 4 meses, no puedo confesar. Very common. In the same Spanish, right? No me confesé ya 4 meses, tengo que confesar. Anyway, I haven't confessed for 4 months, therefore I can't receive communion. Well, if you haven't committed mortal sin, you can still receive communion. Then me dijo un padre en México. What? That's wrong. If you're not aware of a mortal sin, you can and should receive communion as often as possible. And if we receive communion often, that's going to help you not to sin because you've got God within you. God gives you His strength. Okay, full knowledge. It means you know it. And lastly, full consent to the will is not like slipping in a banana peel, okay? It's not done by accident. You do it. So something serious, you know it, no doubt about it, and you give full consent to the will. It's not, no accident involved. In that case, you have a mortal sin. Is that clear? Okay, let's take an example. Is going to Mass on Sunday, is that something important?
Yes.
Would that be grave matter? Something serious. Okay. You know that, right? Okay, so Mass is really important. You know it. Okay, next Sunday comes by, or not this Sunday, the following Sunday. Well, let's see, Thanksgiving weekend, and sleep in, you have some of the extra turkey, you put on already about 3 or 4 pounds, and you feel kind of sluggish, lethargic, if you like the word. And you put on TV, and there's some, I guess the football game is on now, you're starting the basketball, baseball's over, right? And you kind of just there relaxing, then a friend says, let's go out and catch a flick. There's a good movie over Edward Cinema. You go there, and he says, hey, let's have a pizza. And then you have the pizza, but before you know it, it's already, and your conscience was saying, you got to go to Mass, got to go to Mass, got to go to Mass, got to go to Mass. You've heard that, your conscience is kind of pounding away at you, and by the time you're finishing the pizza, it's 8:30. Ah, St. Peter's, no, they used to have a Mass at 8 o'clock, they have Mass at 7, it's over, I miss Mass. Mortal sin. What happens? Father, bye-bye. The Son, bye-bye. The Holy Spirit, bye-bye. You lost the Trinity. Now, I'm going to teach you something now that could be very helpful for the salvation of your soul. I think I learned this when I was 8 or 9 by one of the best catechists. It happens to be an 88-year-old woman, namely my mother, okay? Really learned her catechism back in Detroit in the 40s, no? Before your parents were born. And it's this. If you commit a mortal sin, if you make a perfect act of contrition, you are restored to grace right away. Even before you arrive at confession. That's huge. No one knows that. But that could be a matter of saving your soul or losing your soul, understanding this. So let me explain it. You miss Mass because of laziness. It's 9:30 at night, you're in your room, and your conscience is really bothering you. You know that you die in the state of mortal sin, you could lose your soul, and that's serious. None of us want to go to hell, right? So what are you going to do? In your room, you have a crucifix. And you're looking at the crucifix, it's bigger than that. You see Jesus hanging on the cross with his hands and his feet, the crown of thorns. And you're looking at it, and the Holy Spirit moves you to this. Jesus, I really hurt you by being lazy and placing movies and eating and having fun above you. I'm really, really sorry. One is because I could lose my soul. But even more important, I really know that I hurt you. You are my best friend, and I really hurt you by doing that. And I love you, and I don't want to ever do that again. Now, if you're moved by the grace to accept that movement, you're back in the state of grace. That's huge. You never heard that before, but now that you know that, that could save your soul. I hope you remember that. I pray and hope that you don't fall into mortal sin. But In other words, before you go to bed, you should always examine your conscience and tell God you're sorry and try every night to make a perfect act of contrition. So that means some people die in their sleep. Did you know that? I'm not trying to scare you. I'm not trying to scare you, but we don't know when we're going to die. So you're in the state of grace. Then you have to go to confession as soon as possible. But technically, you're in the state of grace. God has come back to you. And that could take a movement of your heart. The movement of heart, it could be done in a matter of 2 seconds. God's grace works very quickly. Right, Indai? Isn't that enormous? If you know that, 99% of the Catholics never heard this before because of a lack of a catechesis. I'm trying to give you all I possibly can in this 1 year. So when you move in the second year, you're going to have a really solid foundation. When you're confirmed, you're ready. You're ready to fight the good fight, to run the good race, and to win the merited crown that is waiting for the glorious friends of Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen. What would a sin against the Holy Spirit be?
I would really like you not to think too much about that, because if you think a lot about it, you can fall into scrupulosity. I'll give you an example. Remember what Pharaoh did when Moses was going to him? What did Pharaoh do?
He ignored him.
How many times? Many, 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 many times, right? So I don't want you to fall into scrupulosity, because you might feel, because there's a sin against the Holy Spirit is a sin that has no forgiveness. That's of all my preachings, Indai, that's one thing I've never preached on, and I never will. Because if someone misinterprets it, he's going to fall into despair and maybe never come back to the church. Because even if I could explain it as clearly as possible, I could go on to give the different ways that you can go against that. The Catechism of Pius X gives about 7 different ways. But it's basically a hardening of the heart like Pharaoh, in which God has invited you to come to him and you say no, 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 no. You keep rejecting God. So try not to worry about that. You're not in that state, okay? I mean, it's a really good question, but it's best not to think too much about that, because you could fall into despair. Okay? But you see what Pharaoh did. His heart was so hard. Moses went after him. You know, remember the different plagues, the blood and the fleas and the mosquitoes, and then so many different things. He kept saying no, and then finally Moses had to take them out, and he killed the firstborn. All right. So I've explained to you how to make a perfect act of contrition. Did you understand? Good. Okay, so you know that. So we want to try to avoid sin, but if we have the disgrace of falling in, there's always hope. God's mercy is always infinite. So no matter what you've done, if you say, Jesus, I love you, I'm sorry, you're forgiven. In a heartbeat, just like that. God is slow to anger and rich in mercy. We're quick to anger and slow to mercy. That's the way we are. We have an Old Testament heart, I think. But God is quick. You tell God you're sorry, he forgives just like that. What were the words that Jesus said on the cross? Father, forgive them, because they don't know what they're doing, right? First words that he said were words of mercy. Right, Toshi? Okay, we ready? So hopefully that's clear. No mortal sin, you can receive communion even twice a day. Go to 2 different masses. Right, Max? Okay, we are on number?
7.
Can we restore his friendship? Of course. And as soon as we want, by making a perfect act of contrition, Marta, the friendship of the Holy Spirit is restored. By making a perfect act of contrition. However, I should try to go to confession as soon as possible. You can, as the Protestants say, yo me confieso con Dios. I confess directly to God. Now you have to go, have to go to the intermediary. That's the priest. Next. How about some other names for the Holy Spirit? Good question. I'm glad you asked that. We'll give a few, and you can find others in the Litany of the Holy Spirit, as well as the prayer called the Sequence. Right, Indai? And we pray on Pentecost Sunday. Isn't that a beautiful prayer? Here they are. They are, ready? Sanctifier. You know what that means?
He
makes us holy. Okay? Sanctifier. Okay, consoler. Consoler. You know what that means? He who comforts us. Okay. Next one, counselor. You know what that is? He who gives us advice, right? You ever go to a counselor? Then, this is very poetic. He is the finger of God. He wants to paint the image of Jesus in your soul. I love that. Next, the paraclete. Whenever I try to do a spelling check, you know what comes out? Parakeet. Computer is not a perfect speller, is he? No. Paraclete, not parakeet. Paraclete means he will intercede for us like a judge. Then one of my favorites is he is the gift of gifts. Aiden, do you know what CCC stands for?
Catechism of the Catholic Church.
Great. Very good. So the CCC, that's the abbreviated form of the Catechism of the Catholic Church. And right after that, there's another beautiful phrase for the Holy Spirit, one of my favorites, and he is the sweet guest of the soul. Got that, Marta? The sweet guest of the soul. Did you write that in there? Sweet guest of the soul. He's also the love of God. He's the third person of the Trinity. And lastly, he is the interior master. Got that? Interior master. Put next to interior master, if you could, in parentheses, this is one of my favorite passages from the New Testament, Romans chapter 8. Now, Romans chapter 8, St. Paul says, we don't know how to pray as we ought, but the Holy Spirit intercedes for us with ineffable groans, so we can say, Abba, Father. Romans chapter 8. What it means, the Holy Spirit, he's the one that teaches us how to pray. So if you go to the Holy Spirit, teach me how to pray, and he'll teach you. If you want to be taught. All right, let's move on. Next. Can you give some symbols to help understand the Holy Spirit better? Can anyone give me a natural symbol? Can you give me a symbol? I'll give you one. That's symbolic of friendship. So shaking one's hand is symbolic of friendship. Okay, a couple days ago we celebrated Veterans Day, right? Veterans Day. My family, we've got generations and generations of soldiers in the Broome family. Okay? Grandfather fought against Hitler, then my father was in Japan at the end of the Second World War. I have a brother, I have a nephew who is a... He's the head of a helicopter group there in Afghanistan now. What happens if you lift up the flag? That's symbolic of patriotism. What's patriotism? It's love for the country. We should have a love for the country. So raising the flag is symbolic of patriotism. So we... okay. Tell me, what do you prefer? If I went like this to you, or I go like this to you? There's a difference, right? If I go like this, hi. I go like this. I'm using my hand, right? But in two different ways. One, One is, hey, good to see you, Amanda. Hey, Max, you better behave, okay? The same hand, but two different. One is friendship, the other is, I'm angry at you. So, with respect to the Holy Spirit, the Catechism gives us about five different symbols. So a symbol is a mere comparison to shed further light on the person and presence of the Holy Trinity. Here are some of the most common found in the Catechism of the Catholic Church. Okay, the first would be the dove. I always ask a kid, who's the Holy Spirit? The bird. Okay. The bird. Or if you're in New York, the boyd. So the dove would be a symbol of the Holy Spirit. You can't say that the dove is the Holy Spirit. That's just a symbol. Next would be, Martha, what came upon the apostles on Pentecost? Top of their head? They're faking ignorance. Fire. You going to say that? Good. So fire is another symbol. Third is, you can find in John chapter 3, when Jesus is talking to Nicodemus, he says, the Holy Spirit, the wind comes and goes. You don't know where it comes from, nor where it's going. Another symbol is that of wind. Fourth one would be cloud. Another one you find in the creation story in the book of Genesis, a gentle breeze. Gentle breeze. You got wind, kind of stronger than a gentle breeze. The Holy Spirit adapts himself. Right, Indy? Kind of adapts himself according to the person and the circumstance. Beautiful symbols, right? All right. I think you've been patiently waiting for this. We've finally arrived at your favorite, the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Can you name the seven gifts of the Holy Spirit? Yes, and they are important to learn and understand through study. And one of the reasons why they're called gifts is because the nature of the word gift means it's given freely, right? That would probably be the definition of a gift. It's given freely, and you don't have to pay $1,000 for it. But all these gifts, you know when they come? The moment of baptism. So you're baptized, you get these wonderful gifts that are called the gifts of the Holy Spirit. They're powerful. And one of the best examples, are you observant? Do you ever notice when you're walking down the hall, there are statues out there? You ever notice those statues? One is a little Mexican saint that was about your age, about 2 years older. His name was Jose Luis Sancho de Rio. Any of you see the movie For the Greater Glory? Did you like it? Do you remember the name of the boy that suffered? Any of your parents come from Michoacan? No? Michoacan? Yeah, from Michoacan. So why are you Michoacan? His name was Jose Luis Sancho de Rio. And he was actually shot to death in the cemetery, and when they shot him in the temple. Blood was gushing out of his temple, and as it dripped on the ground, the last thing he did was he made the sign of the cross in the ground with his finger with his own blood. In his last words, Que viva Cristo Rey. Que viva la Virgen Guadalupe. Yeah. Love it, no? Went right to heaven. Now he's one of our patrons of the confirmation. Is Jose Luis Sancho de Rio. We got that statue. And there's another statue of Jacinta, because she's the patron saint of the little children that come here for catechism. All right, so, you ready for the gifts? They're free of charge now, okay? Got that? Okay, the first gift, Martha, I think is one of your favorites. It's the greatest. Wisdom. Write that in there. Wisdom. Saboreando las cosas de Dios. Beautiful definition. You know Spanish, huh? Saboreando las cosas de Dios. Savoring the things of God. Relishing the things of God. Imagine this. There you are at Baskin Robbins. You got a double decker. This is great. Remember that? I like ice cream. Oh, this is great, no? Vanilla, chocolate, pistachio. Oh, man. Hits the spot, huh? So as you're relishing that ice cream cone, you relish God, not the ice cream cone. That's what wisdom is. Saboreando, you know, Spanish. No? Savoring. As your Spanish. Saboreando means savoring, relishing. Okay, the next would be that of knowledge. Knowledge. Knowledge is pretty cool because certain things happen in your life and you connect that with God. So circumstance happens in your life and you see God behind it. It's called divine providence. Nothing happens by chance. No? You want to get me angry? Say, Father, good luck. I don't believe in it. I think that's against the first commandment. No? Do you believe in good luck charms? A lot of baloney. Oh, I'd like someone to read my hand to see if I'm going to have a novio or a boyfriend. Oh, come on. A lot of people go there. That's against the first commandment. Nothing happens by chance. God never says, whoops. No. You know what whoops means? It slips out of his hands. Nothing. You can't come behind God and scare God, catch him by surprise. God knows everything. Past, present, and future, God knows it all. Oh. Okay, next is understanding. Do you understand? Understanding. You know how that's applied is that you're reading the Bible. I understand how that passage refers to me now. The Lord is my shepherd. There's nothing I shall want. What should I worry? God is with me. But you read it maybe 5 times, nothing happened. You read it the 6th time after praying the Holy Spirit. I got a problem, but God is going to help me to get through that problem. I got to trust. Understanding. Next is counsel. Counsel, the art of decision making. We all have to make decisions, right? You don't want to make bad decisions. So counsel helps us to make right decisions in the light of the Holy Spirit. Let me tell you, you're pretty young, but the 3 most important decisions in your life will be this. Where are you going to go to college? That's important. Okay, what your profession is and what your vocation is. You hear that? Where are you going to go to college? It's huge. Most people lose their faith when they go to college in the United States. Most. Hopefully it's not going to be your case. Then what are you going to study? And then your vocation. Are you going to get married, have 12 kids? You're going to become a contemplative nun. It's really different. There's a difference, right? So what helps you is the gift of counsel. Counsel is going to give you light to make a decision in the light of eternity and how to get to heaven. Amen? Yep. Then the next is fortitude. Fortitude. You know what that means is spiritual strength. Right, Anna? Spiritual strength. So with your friends during the break at school, and one of the guys there, or the girls, is telling a story that's kind of ugly. You know it's wrong. And there are 4 of them there. It's kind of you can hear it's getting worse. And what are you going to do? What are you going to do? Get up and walk away. They're going to criticize you. Ah, oh, la santita. It's Catholic, la santita. But if you're able to get up and walk away, that's a gift for the two. They're going to criticize you. But better to be on God's side then on the side with those guys that are, you think they're hot stuff, huh? Either we become a people pleaser or a God pleaser. Amen? I prefer to be a God pleaser, don't you? Who are you, a people pleaser or a God pleaser? Maybe it depends, huh? Get fortitude, you're a God pleaser. And then the gift of piety. You know, it's a beautiful gift, and it's two things. Recognize that God is our Father, and all of us are brothers and sisters. Isn't that a beautiful gift? Hey, you're Filipina. I'm American. Doesn't matter. We're the sons and daughters of the same Father in heaven, right? And you know, the exact opposite of that is racism. You know what a racist is? Or xenophobia. You know, you think, those are Mexicans. Those are Chinese. Those are Vietnamese. Keep away from them. They're dangerous. Keep away from them. Oh, those Japanese, I got to be careful. It's ugly. Jesus said, love one another as I've loved you. So when we say the word, we say the prayer, our Father who art in heaven. If God is Father, Jesus is our brother, all of us are brothers and sisters in Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Okay. And the last is that of fear of the Lord. You ever hear that one? Fear of the Lord, which is the beginning of wisdom. Those are the seven gifts of the Holy Spirit. You got them, Belinda? Got them written down? Okay, good. Okay, can you name several fruits of the Holy Spirit? Now, the dynamic of the Holy Spirit is this. If you correspond to the gifts of the Holy Spirit, then you experience the fruits of the Holy Spirit is interior sweetness of soul. That's Thomas Aquinas, okay? Like that? So if you correspond to the gifts, you say yes, and you experience this interior sweetness within your soul. And those are the gifts of the Holy Spirit, the fruits of the Holy Spirit. Want to know a few? Let's go through some of them. Okay, the first we're going to write is this, peace. Joy, chastity, meekness, then following that, self-control. You're not a quarter huda, okay? Patience, long-suffering. When we're open to the presence and gifts of the Holy Spirit, then we experience this wonderful sweetness in our soul. These are the fruits of the Holy Spirit. They are for our taking. Okay, those are the fruits. So you're open to the gifts, you experience the fruits. You're open to the gifts, you experience the fruits. Okay, what is the special feast day or solemnity in which we honor the Holy Spirit? The response is, what is that day of the year we celebrate the Holy Spirit coming par excellence? I think it's one of your favorite days, right?
Pentecost.
Got it. Pentecost. Pentecost Sunday. John, do you know what color the priest wears that day?
Red.
Okay. Why?
For the fire of the Holy Spirit.
The fire of the Holy Spirit. All the other times red is for the blood of the martyrs, right? But that's the only time red is worn because the fire. Of the fire of the Holy Spirit. Okay. This wonderful church solemnity we celebrate 50 days after Easter, the day that Jesus rose from the dead. Okay, what happened on the first Pentecost after the apostles prayed and fasted with the Blessed Virgin Mary for how long was it? Diana, how long was it? Give your hand. What? I'll give you the hint. It was the first novena, or novena. How many days is la novena? What? Nine. Okay, so it was 9 days. For 9 days, a powerful novena. Then the Holy Spirit manifests His presence through a powerful wind and tongues of fire that settled over their heads. Okay, was there a change in the apostles? What do you think? Yes, most definitely. They were able to do all these. Think about the contrast. Shortly before that, Peter, what did Peter do Holy Thursday night?
He met
Jesus three times. Yeah. So he was afraid, right? He was cowardly, right? So once the Holy Spirit comes, there's a radical change, and we're gonna be going through the things that happen. They, number one, do they speak different languages? Did they go through a crash course on language skills? Or did they learn that from the Holy Spirit? Were they courageous? Or were they cowardly? Courageous, right? Did they begin to preach and heal with trust and strength? Yes. Were they persecuted, even martyred for Jesus? All the apostles except John, the beloved disciple? So all of them actually died as martyrs, except St. John the Apostle. Any of you see the movie of St. Paul the Apostle? Do you like it? How did St. Paul die? Did he die of old age? Car accident?
Yes.
Chariot accident?
Yes.
Yeah, he was beheaded, right? You know how St. Peter died? Crucified upside down. You know how St. Bartholomew died?
Skinned him alive?
Yeah, he was skinned alive. But he didn't die. They actually had to chop his head off. And the next time you go to St. Peter's Basilica, you'll see this huge statue way up there. It looks like he's got like a kind of like a scroll. And it's actually his skin. He's holding his skin. So the next time you go to St. Peter's Basilica, make sure they check that out, okay? All right. If you're going to be going during Christmas break, make sure you check that out, okay? Maybe take a photo for me. Put it on Instagram, okay? Okay, where can we find the Holy Spirit in the Bible? Okay, Aidan, what are the four Gospels?
Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John.
What's the book that follows? You know it. You tell him. But if you're a Protestant, they would know it's just like that. Well, we're Catholics. Typical Catholics, right? We're just Catholics, no? No, okay. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I'll give you a hint. It was written by St. Luke. He wrote actually two in the Bible. The Gospel of St. Luke, and what was the other? You're faking ignorance. Come on. Go ahead.
Acts.
A-X-E.
Acts of the Apostles.
Was it an axe? They had an axe they like to cut down trees? No, A-C-T-S, right? Okay, it was the Acts of the Apostles. Okay, I'm playing on words now. The Acts of the Apostles. Well, it's one of my favorite books. It's the action book. You have a lot of action in that. The apostles are being persecuted, they're being whipped, and it's kind of a fun book. No? We listen to it the whole time of the Easter season, no? And the apostles are being beaten and they're rejoiced because they could suffer for the name of the Lord, no? Okay, so the Acts of the Apostles, known by many as the Gospel of the Holy Spirit. Okay, Mary and the Holy Spirit. How is Mary related to the Holy Spirit? In the midst of the Trinity, Mary is the... She's the daughter of God the Father. Mary is the
mother
of God the Son. And Mary is the, you're a potent disguise. You're a potent, you don't even know it. It'll be what?
Friend.
Anna, go ahead. The mystical spouse of the Holy Spirit. St. Louis de Montfort says, those who love Mary, the Holy Spirit flings himself into their souls. Did you ever, aside from soccer, you ever fling a frisbee? None of you ever fling a frisbee? Know what a frisbee is? You take it and you go. The Holy Spirit flings himself into the soul of those who love Mary. Okay, so I think we've got enough time, I hope, Belinda, say my prayer. Can we do that?
Yes, Father.
We're going to say the prayer of the Holy Spirit. There's page 1 and 2. The first time I prayed it, I read it backwards. So I didn't write it backwards, but I read it backwards. No? Got it? In the name of the Father, the Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. Okay, prayer of the Holy Spirit. Together. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, fill my heart with your heavenly love. Light my mind so I may know the truth, live the truth, and be willing to die for the truth. Come, Holy Spirit, come in the dark and lonely moments of my life. Come to console me and comfort me. You are the sweet guest of the soul. Make me aware of your constant living presence. I recognize that I am never alone because you are with me as a faithful friend. Come, Holy Spirit, come, you are the interior master. Teach me how to pray. I do not know how to pray well. I implore you to intercede for me with ineffable groan so that I can cry out, Abba, Father. Come, Holy Spirit, come in moments of doubt and confusion. Be my light and counselor. Help me make decisions not according to my will, but according to your holy will. Come, Holy Spirit, come in moments of weakness, give me strength. You are the courage and strength of the martyrs. Obtain for me interior strength to fight against sin, my fallen human nature, and anything that is not pleasing to you. Turn the page. Come, Holy Spirit, come and grant me a filial love for you, a sincere love for my neighbor, especially for those that I live with me every day. Set my heart on fire with love. Come, Holy Spirit, come and sanctify me with your presence. You are the sanctifier. Obtain for me an ardent yearning, holiness of life. Be holy as your heavenly Father is holy. May I attain holiness of life so as to attain the promise of eternal life. Come, Holy Spirit, come produce in me a reverential fear that motivates me to avoid all that is displeasing to you, to avoid place of things, circumstances that could damage my friendship with you. Come, Mary, mystical spouse of the Holy Spirit, temple of the Holy Spirit. You are the most intimate and constant union with the Holy Spirit. Pray for me so that my knowledge and love, Holy Spirit, will grow daily until I am with you forever in heaven, worshiping forever the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Act of consecration to Mary. And we'll close with that. You got it there? Together, Mary, my Queen and my Mother. As may you be, my eyes, my feet, my mouth, my heart, my whole being without you.
Wherefore, the Mother, I am come, teaching you how to use your poverty.
Okay, good. God bless you and have a great weekend. Okay?
Okay.
What? Extra?
Yeah, extra. Give it away?
You can hold on to it. Yeah. Okay, good.